So today the title of my sermon is Friendship with God. Friendship with God. Who is your friend? Who is your best friend? And how long have you had this friend? And how hard do you work to please this friend, to remain a friend with this your friend? Well, today I want us to look at friendship with God, how that works. If we can be God's friend, what kind of friend would God be to us? So let's start by reading the book of Revelation, chapter 3. Revelation 3, 20. Can a man be God's friend? Someone you cannot see, you've not seen him before? Can we be God's friend? Revelation 3, 20. Jesus Christ said, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in into him and dine with him, and he with me." So Jesus Christ is knocking at the door of our heart, and he says, if anyone opens, if anyone welcomes him, that he's going to come and he's going to dine with us. If you turn to Genesis 12, Genesis 12, Genesis 12:1. This is a story about Abraham, a story we know very well. Let's see how God knocked at his door and how Abraham opened the door of his heart and became God's friend. Genesis 12:1. Now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So God knocked at Abraham's door, and he told Abraham all this. What did Abraham do? So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. So God called Abraham and said, go to a place that I will show you. God knocked at his door, and Abraham responded. Abraham opened the door for God. How did he do that? He believed God, and he acted on his belief. So Abraham believed God, and Abraham acted on what he believed, and he left. If you turn to the book of James, chapter 2. James 2. James 2, 23. James 2:23. And the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. So Abraham was called God's friend because God knocked and Abraham opened. Abraham answered the call. Abraham believed God, and Abraham did what God asked him to do. That was how he became a righteous man, and that was how he became God's friend. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus 3 from verse 3. This is a story about Moses and God. Exodus 3, I'll start from verse 2. Exodus 3, 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he knocked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see the great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called on him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Drew not near hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereunto thou standest is a holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land, and a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, Hittites, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So God knocked at his door. God called Moses and said, this is what I want you to do for me, to bring my people out of this land. What did Moses do? Moses opened the door of his heart. He accepted, he believed what God told him. And Moses left where he was and went back to Egypt to bring God's people out of Egypt. So Moses did what God asked him to do. And if you turn to Exodus 33:11. And the Lord spoke unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. So God spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. Because Moses believed God, opened the doors of his heart for God to come in, and God came in and used him, and he became God's friend. What about us? What did Jesus Christ call us? Are we God's friends? If you turn to John 15:14. Jesus Christ said, John 15:14. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servant, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father have made known unto you. So Jesus Christ called his disciples friends. And so are we today. We are God's friend. We are God's friend. We hear God's word and we do God's word, we are God's friend. Because these are the things that Jesus Christ heard from God the Father, and he told us. And we believe that these words are true. And that is the reason why we are here today. And that's the reason why we'll be fighting to do the right thing in the midst of a world, in a chaotic world. Because we believe the words of Jesus Christ. So we are God's friend. And if we are not yet believing in God's word, God is the best friend that anybody can ever have. God is the best friend. What kind of friend is God to his friends? What kind of friends? If you go to Proverbs chapter 17, Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17, verse 17. Proverbs 17, 17. It says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A friend that loveth at all times is God. That's the kind of friend that God is to us. A friend that loveth us at all time. That's the kind of friendship we have with God. He loves us at all times. In any situation, in any condition, at all times, he loves us. If you turn to Proverbs 18:24, Proverbs 18:24. Proverbs 18:24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Do we have friend? Yes, God is our friend. But the Bible wants us to show ourselves friendly. And it said there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And that friend is God. God is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, than our parents, than anybody, than any friend that we have. God is a friend that is closer to us than any other thing, than any other brother, than any other parents. No matter the situation, no matter where we find ourselves, God is still with us. He sticks with us because that is who he is. He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. If you turn to the book of John, chapter 15. John 15. John 15, 13. John 15, 13. Jesus Christ said, greater love had no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. There is no other love, there is no other friend that is greater than this friend that laid down his life for his friends. That is the kind of friendship we have with God. He laid down his life for his friends. For us, there is no greater love than this. He is a friend that loves at all times. He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, than anybody. And he's a friend that laid down his life for his friends. Do we work so hard to show ourselves friendly to God? I know what price people pay to keep their friends, especially when they are rich, especially when they are influential, especially when they are powerful. Are we ready to make sacrifices to remain friends with God? The greatest friend, the best friend that anybody can have, that loves at all time, that stays with us at all times, that gave his life for his own friends. God is a kind of friend that tells us his mind. God is also a kind of friend that tells us his mind. If you turn to Proverbs 8, the book of Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8. He tells us his mind. He tells us what he wants us to know about him, about ourselves, and about the way that he wants us to go. Proverbs 8:6. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understand, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than the choice gold. So, he is a friend that tells us his mind. He opens his mouth and he tells us righteous things, things that are pure, things that are truth. There is no deceit or perversiveness in his words and in what he tells to us, because he means well for us, for his friends. And if you turn to Genesis 18, Genesis 18:17. God was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And he passed through Abraham's house, and look at what he said. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become great, a mighty nation, and all nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." God said, "Shall I hide anything from Abraham, my friend?" No, God does not hide anything from us. Even the Bible said that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has it entered the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. But he said, We know about it because God has revealed it to us. God has revealed it to us. God tells us his mind. And God told Abraham that he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And that is the kind of friend that God is to us today. If we only can listen, if we can stay calm, if we can stand still, if we can trust, and listen to that small, still voice that is still loud to anyone that have an ear today, who hear the voice of God revealing the things he will do to us. Because we are God's friends. We are God's friends. And when God tells us his mind, what is our part? Our part is to listen and do what he asks us to do. Our part is to listen. If you turn to Matthew 13:13. Anyway, I'll take you to John 10:27. Jesus Christ said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So if we are God's friends, we will hear his voice. We will hear what he has to say to us and what he is saying to us. And we will follow him. Proverbs 8:32. Proverbs 8:32. Now therefore hearken unto me, all ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. So God tells us his minds, and he wants us to listen to him and keep his ways. Proverbs 4:10. Say, hear, O my son, and receive my saying, and the years of thy life shall be many. I've taught thee in the way of wisdom. I've led thee in the right path. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. If we listen to God, if we listen to our friend who speaks to us, the days of our life will be many. And when we run, we will not stumble. And when we walk, we will not fall. Because we are doing the right thing. We are walking in the right path. Matthew 13:16. Jesus Christ said, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. So Jesus Christ said that we are blessed if we can use our eyes to read the scriptures and believe it. If we can use our ears to hear God's word and we believe it. So we are blessed. Because so many people have eyes, they can't see with it. Some people have ears, they can't listen with it. You see a lot of destruction going on in the world today, and I've been in the world all the time, because nobody wants to listen to God's word. God is saying that path leads to destruction, and you still see so many people walking in it. They have ears, but they don't hear with their ears. And God is saying that path leads to destruction, and people don't see it. But blessed are your eyes because you see. And blessed are your ears because you hear. Just because you are God's friend. You are God's friend. If you turn to Isaiah 30. Isaiah 30. Isaiah 30:20-21. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore. But thy eyes shall see thy teachers, and thy ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye therein. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. So the Bible is saying that this voice will continue to speak, to show us the way. It's the kind of stuff you hear, right? Can somebody ask them to increase, to improve maybe the temperature? It's the kind of stuff you don't know.
Decrease it.
I don't know. I'm
I got it at 70.
Okay, thank you. (Clears throat) And the place we just read just said, our ears, we hear a voice saying, this is the way. But that is not the only thing that voice will say to us. The voice also said, walk therein. Walk therein. That is very important. When God makes a way for us, when God shows us the way, our path is to walk in that way. That is what God's friends do. God shows us the way, and we walk in that way. If you turn to Proverbs 3, Proverbs 3, Proverbs 3:1. This is still the voice of our friend and our master. Proverbs 3:1. It says, my son, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of your heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be hell to thy navel and marrow to thy bone. So God is still speaking to us. This is what he does to his friends. Shows us the way of life, the path of safety, and he wants us to walk in that path. That is what a good friend does to his friends. He corrects us where we err. He corrects us. And it's up to us to accept the correction. Because if you have two friends and one will tell you every time, don't go this way, because if you go this way, you'll get into trouble. He will warn you before you get into trouble. And you have another friend that will allow you to get into trouble. And that friend will tell you, I wanted to tell you. I should have told you. I think our best friend is the one that tells us before we get into trouble. The one that allows us to get into trouble before, and he comes and tells us, oh, I wanted to tell you that there was a pit there, there was a problem there. I wanted to tell you, but I forgot. No, that's not the kind of friend God is to us. He tells us, he points out where the problem lies, and he wants us to avoid it. He wants us to walk in the right path. Like he did to Cain. He told Cain, why has your countenance changed? Sin lies at your door. Rule over it. But Cain did not listen. Cain went ahead and killed his brother. This is the kind of friend that God is to us. He warns us. He corrects us. And he speaks to us. He tells us his mind. And he wants us always to listen. Because he is with us at all time. He is closer than anybody is to us. And he gave his life for our sake. If you turn to John 8:51. John 8:51. Jesus Christ said, verily, verily, I say unto you, If a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. If a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. This is where our focus should be. We listen to him and we do what he asks us to do. And once we are friends with God, then every other thing will fall in place. So if a man keep my saying, he will never see death. And if you turn to Hebrews 11:5. Say, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found, because God translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So the Bible said, because Enoch listened to God's voice, that he did not see death. And Jesus Christ said, if a man keeps my saying, he will not see death. This is one of the benefits of being God's friend. He speaks to us. He directs us. He leads us out of trouble. He leads us out of trouble through instruction, through the instructions that he gives to us. But that is not all when we are God's friend. That's the other side of it when we are God's friend. When we are God's friend, we become an enemy to the world, and we become an enemy to Satan, and we face trials and temptation. But what happens? When Jesus Christ was led up by the Spirit to be tempted by Satan, what happened? Did God forsake him? No. God was with him. And so are we today. When we face trials, when we face temptations, when we face uncommon times, God does not forsake us. God is our friend that sticketh closer than our brothers, than anybody. What does he do? If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. This is what our friend will do when we find ourselves in trials and temptation. Say, there had no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. So we have a friend that is with us in the time of trials and trouble. And what is he doing? He's preparing a way of escape for us. Say, God will make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So if God makes a way of escape and shows us the way of escape, what is our part? Our part is to walk in that way and get out of that trouble. If we know the way out of it and we don't walk in that way out of the trouble, then we will remain in the trial and in the temptation. But the Bible says God will make a way to escape for us. So when we find ourselves in difficult times, difficult situations, let's stay calm and consult our friend. And listening to him, the Bible promises us that God will make a way of escape for us. And if you turn to 2 Corinthians 4, Second Corinthians 4:8. So a lot of people think and teaches that when we become God's friend, when we become believers and we have God's Spirit, that we are not supposed to face challenges anymore, that our days of troubles are over, That is not what the Bible teaches. So, 2 Corinthians 4, it says, we are troubled on every side. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. This is what happens to us when you are God's friend. The devil is very active and walking day and night to destroy us. The devil, from the beginning, wants to take the place of God, wants to take God's place. Say, I will ascend to heaven. I will be like the Most High. He wants to take God's position. Today, he's still doing the same thing. Wherever he sees God, he wants to take his position. In our heart, in our mind, in our houses, Satan is fighting tooth and nail to take the place of God. If we open the doors of our heart for him, he will come in and he will take it. And you know what it means to open the door? When God knocks and we open the door, we are letting the occupant of the house out and we are letting God in. If we open the door for Satan, then he will come and he wants to take God's place. That is what he does. And we have to be very careful because we are God's friends. This is what we have to pass through as God's friends. Temptations and trials. There will be time of happiness and joy, but there will be times that we need to show that we are true friends to God, that we are his friends. If you turn to Isaiah 43, Isaiah 43. These are the words of our friends. Isaiah 43. These are his words. Isaiah 43 from 1. He said, but now thus said the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I've called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walk through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. So God said, when we pass through the fire, he will be with us. When we pass through the waters, he will be with us. When we pass through challenges of life, he will be with us. That's the word of a true friend. Those are the words of a true friend. When we pass through challenging times like today, God is with us. Whatsoever that is going on in our lives, in our family, in the church, God is with us and God is helping us to work it out. Because he has promised and his words are faithful. For remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When they were thrown into the burning furnace, the king saw the fourth person in the fire. And who was the fourth person? The king said, he looked like the Son of Man. This promise. God became the fourth person in the burning furnace and saved his people. When they left Egypt, God was with them by the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud. He made a way in the Red Sea and they walked in that way, and God was with them when they walked through the waters. So this is not something that is all spiritual. It's something that is physical as well, that we have seen in the scriptures where God demonstrated and fulfilled this promise that in our difficult times that he is with us very closely, because he is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. If you turn to Psalms 46, the book of Psalms 46. The book of Psalms 46 from verse 1. Psalms 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that's right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. That is the kind of friend we have. Said, no matter what happens, that we should stand strong, like Charlie was saying in the sermonette. We should stand strong. God is our refuge. God is our refuge and our present help in the times of trouble. And that is what we have today as God's friends. He is still our refuge. He is still our helper. He is still ready to help us. And he is very close. Very close. If you turn to Romans 8:36. Romans 8:36. Romans 8:36. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is what our friend does. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Whether things that we see today, things to come, whether life, whether death. In fact, even when we are dead, we are not separated from the love of God. God still remembers us. God still remembers our families. David said, I was young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God does not forsake his friends. God does not forsake his friends. And nothing in this life or in the life to come, nothing today or tomorrow can separate us from the love of God. Once we are God's friends, God is committed to that relationship. And no force has the power or the strength to separate us from the love of God. This is the friend that we have. This is the friend that we have. How hard do we work to keep this friend? How hard do we work to keep this friend? And all we need to do is to listen to him. All we need to do is to forgive where he asks us to forgive. All we need to do is to love where he asks us to love. All we need to do is to sit down where he asks us to sit down, stop where he asks us to stop, and continue where he asks us to continue. That is how we keep this friend. Apart from that, the Bible assures us that nothing, even the COVID, the pandemic that we face today, the Bible says, does not have the power to separate us from the love of Christ, our friend. So this is what we have to do always. If you turn to Peter, 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5, 8. This is what we have to do because we are God's friend. We are God's friend. We have to be very careful. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he might devour. When the Bible says your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, You go out there looking for a lion, you will not see any lion. You will not see any lion. The devil attacks us through so many ways. The devil attacks us through our family members, through our earthly friends, through the members of the church. The devil attacks us in different forms. But it doesn't matter the source of the attack. But what matters is to do what the Bible asks us to do in order to overcome. And it says, be sober, be vigilant. Be sober, be vigilant. When a brother, no matter how close he is to us or she is to us, starts to misbehave, starts to do something wrong, you have to be careful. You have to be sober. You have to pick it up. And you have to do what you have to do according to the scriptures to overcome that situation and pray for that brother or that sister. But I'm saying that we don't know the source of attack. He uses so many different sources. I mean, Satan. So if anybody's going out there looking for a roaring lion, that's not how the devil operates. He operates through the people we know, through the people that can hurt us and we feel the pain. Because it's not everybody that will hurt you and you feel the pain. If someone you trust and love so much hurts you, that's when you feel the pain the most. And Satan uses every avenue to attack us. And the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he might devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And if you turn to Ephesians 6, Ephesians 6, Ephesians 6, 11. Ephesians 6, 11. Say, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil days. And having done all this, to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your foot shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is how God wants us to equip ourselves against the devil, because he is constantly attacking us because we are God's friends. He attacked Jesus Christ. He attacked Jesus Christ. If you turn to Isaiah 53, Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, from 7. He did all this to Jesus Christ just to distract him. Say, he was oppressed and he was afflicted. He opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from the prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. So Jesus Christ was oppressed. Jesus Christ was afflicted, but he never opened his mouth. Because that is what Satan wants you to do. He wants you to get distracted. He wants you to leave, to lose focus. But Jesus Christ did not lose focus. Jesus Christ was oppressed. Jesus Christ was afflicted. They called him all sorts of names. They did a lot of things to him. But Jesus Christ was still focused on the cause, the reason why he came to earth, to die for his friends. and he stayed on that track. He did not allow Satan to distract him. Sometimes Satan even came through one of his disciples, and Jesus Christ said, "Get behind me, Satan." So we have to be very careful. This is what we get as God's friends. God will love us at all times. God will be with us at all times. God will make a way for us when we are in trouble to get out of the trouble. God will fight our battle. Jesus Christ said, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you comfortless." And he said, "Though I go to my Father and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. You will see me because I am with you." But we have to also understand that the days of trials will come. The days of temptations will come. And how we treat those days, how we react when those days comes, shows how strong and how godly we are and how truly we are God's friend. And I have Psalm 37:25. I paraphrased it where it says, "Has never seen the seed of the righteous begging bread," showing that God, even though Abraham died centuries away, God still remembered his children. God still remembered his children in Egypt, and he told Moses, "I've heard their cry and I've come to deliver them because of my friend Abraham." So we are God's friends. God will never forsake us, and God will never forsake our generation. As long as we teach them God's way, and as long as they are willing to walk in that way, God will not forsake us. And even when we die and leave this world and we are waiting resurrection, God will still be kind and faithful to our generation, just like he did with Abraham, his friend. If you turn to Psalms 23, Psalms 23. This is a time to remember the book of Psalms 23, a very popular scripture. The time of trouble, the time of trials, is a time to remember Psalms 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadows of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This is a time to remember Psalms 23, that the Lord is our shepherd, and Jesus Christ is a good shepherd. He is a good shepherd, like David was. David fought and killed the bears and the wild animals that came to destroy the sheep. That's how Jesus Christ fights for us. He stands in the front and he fights for us, and willing and ready to give his life for our sake. And he gave it. And he gave it. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Look at where we are. Humans, flesh, nothing compared to God. The Bible said, "As heaven is above the earth, so is God's knowledge and understanding higher than our own." But look at where we are, and we are God's friend. We are in this world. The Bible describes us as a grass that grows today and is consumed tomorrow. Yet look at what Jesus Christ said to us in John 14. John 14. Turn to John 14. Because I'm sure if we have worldly friends, our friends in this world, there are a lot of things that can separate us from our friends. When our friends get rich, when they get so rich and we are so poor, that was what separated the rich man and Lazarus. When we are so sick sometimes that we are not able to perform the duties that we render to our friends, sometimes our friends forsake us. When things are not going the way it should for us, sometimes we lose our friends. But look at what Jesus Christ said in John 14 to his friends, to all of us. John 14:1. Jesus Christ said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus Christ said, wherever he is, that is where we will be. There are mansions in his Father's house. Though we are in this world today, going through challenges, going through troubles, going through whatsoever we find ourselves today, wheresoever we find ourselves today, Jesus Christ is promising us that he is with us. And that when he returns, that wheresoever he is physically, that is where we'll be. There are so many mansions in his Father's house. He's willing to share his heritage with us. He's willing to give us the kingdom that belongs to him. He's willing to give it to us, his friends. This is a friend that we need to work so hard to retain him and to please him and to make sure that he is with us at all times. Sometimes people want to have a presidential handshake, and sometimes they pay a lot of thousands of dollars just to have that handshake. But Jesus Christ is offering us a handshake. Jesus Christ is knocking at the door of our heart every day, and he wants to dine and live with us. How will you feel to be God's friend? How does it feel to be God's friend? A friend of God, the greatest personality in the whole universe, the one that makes all the decisions in the whole universe, the one that says who will stand and who will sit, the one that says whether there will be day or night, the one that says whether the sun will rise or set. He is the greatest friend that we have. And I just want to conclude. I just want to recap all that I've said. The title of this message today is Friendship with God. And I've said that man can become friends with God, just like Abraham and Moses did. And we can do this if God knocks at the door of our hearts and we open the door of our heart and let him in, and he walk with us, and we listen to him and obey him and walk in the ways that he will show us. And he will be to us a friend that loves at all times. He will be to us a friend that sticks closer than any other person that we know. And he will be the greatest friend, a friend that gave his life for his friends. And when we listen to him in the time of trouble, he assures us that he will always make a way of escape for us. And he promised that when we pass through challenging times, when we pass through fire, when we pass through waters, that he will be with us. That he will be with us. So God feels our pain. And with this friend, nothing can separate us. Nothing can separate us. No power, no force can separate us. But we need to do something, because we are God's friend. We need to be sober. We need to be vigilant. We need to put on the whole armor of God, because we have an adversary once we become God's friend. We have Satan, the devil, who is active every time, seeking whom to devour. And he attacks us by so many sources, through our family members, through members of the church, through our friends in the world, through our jobs. He uses all avenues to attack us. So when we put on the whole armor of God, we'll be able to overcome him. And this friend is our shepherd. He will fight our cause, and he is with us at all time. So, brethren, I want to encourage us. Let us keep our eyes on this our friend, on God. And let us be strong at all times, believing and trusting, and let us not allow anybody or anything to distract us or to remove our eyes from our friend. Our friend is God, because we hear and we do his will.